Head to Children's Church, have an awesome time there, and you're going with our Children's Ministry Director, Tanny, and that's all I've got for you guys, so I'll hand it over to Pastor Jim.
I'm so glad you came today because we're starting a new series. I hope that you're glad today that we're starting a new series. I like the title. I want to be blessed, and I want to bless so that I can bless. Blessed to Bless is the new series we're going to be in. I love it when I know exactly how many weeks the series is and what exactly I'm doing, and that is not the case this time. I don't know how long the series will be, but I'm excited about it. And I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm excited about it. And that's been kind of the way things are going lately with me, and it's an adventure of faith, but that's what this series is about, so we're all going to be in it together. I want to share with you, and this morning, I just had somebody come up to me and reminded me of the truth. What was the preacher thinking? Look at all these blanks on this outline. It's like you're going to get a cramp in your hand. And I'm thinking, yeah, I broke some of my own rules here. And those of you who are going digital, I mean, you're going to get a cramp in that finger just going, wah, wah, wah. Maybe not. But it's content rich, and we got a lot to cover, and today is kind of foundational. This whole series is, in a way, and I'm excited about it. So we're going to begin with the key verse for the entire series that is in Genesis 12, verse 2, that reads, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. So you see the title there, Blessed to be a blessing is right there. It introduces a powerful truth about what God wants when he blesses us. We're not cul-de-sacs where we just collect the blessing and we enjoy it and thank you, God. It's all about me. We're to be conduits of that blessing that he gives us, and that's what this is about. The title today specifically is, As Abram Was Called, We Are Called. As Abram was called, we are called. Now, just so that you know, I will inadvertently interchange from Abram to Abraham because later in the story, he will be renamed Abraham. And we'll get into those details when we get there, but my mind can't keep it sorted out. Like, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. So I'll call him either way, Abraham or Abram. We're talking about the same guy while we are going through this together. So as Abram is called or was called, we are called. Now, I want to take a little bit of time today before we get into the story of building out this foundation as to why we would bother studying a life and a call on a particular individual who lived not close to here, completely different culture, 4,000 years ago. I mean, what is the relevancy to us? Why do we focus on a gentleman from a completely different culture who was called by God to do something in his life, and now we are focusing on him? Why? Well, it's rather foundational, it's rather global, it's rather huge as it relates to this was the genesis, because you find it in Genesis, all the beginnings, this was the genesis of what God was going to do as he revealed his salvation plan. So we're in chapter 12, we're going to be looking at just a few verses, but just by context, let's just build the context a little bit. And if you're familiar with Genesis and you've read Genesis 1 through 11, man, it starts out great. God creates a beautiful universe. And every step of the way, he says it's good. But right away, and just pages in, right away, something evil takes place. And evil enters in. And there's several agents who are involved. There's a fallen angel involved. And there's the first pair of humans involved, and it changes everything right away in the fall. So we have creation and then the fall. And then it gets so spiraling bad because of the fall, we move into the story of the flood and God's judgment. And even after the flood and God's judgment, we're starting all over with people all over again. The next thing we read about is this massive rebellion where together there's a unified effort to contradict and rebel against God and make a name for themselves instead of do precisely what humans are called to do to make God's name great in the Tower of Babel. And God confuses the languages and everybody spreads like they were told to do in the first place. And that's where we turn the page out of spiraling downward. And then God chooses Abram and speaks to him, which would like, wow. And it completely changes Abram's life. Just so you know, we're tempted to think of him as Jewish. We're tempted to think of him as a believer who's called. You need to think of him as pagan. Part of this spiral, living in the land of Ur. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. I don't know. Okay? You are. Living in the land of Ur, traveling a great distance with his whole family clan to Haran. And then God speaks to him, and he's going to travel a whole great distance further upon God's call, which, by the way, is an invitation and a command, like a summons. How you respond to it is kind of what this is all about. And so as Abram is called, we are also called. And so I want to build that out, that idea, so that we're connected to the story. I'm probably going to take 2 weeks to build it out, to connect us to the story, so that we really feel like every time we're talking about Abram, we're also talking about us and how it relates to us, and so it really is meaningful for us right here in Cottonwood, right here in our day and time, right here in this week, in my struggles, and what I'm going through in my journey as I am following the call of God. So to build that out, I want to jump to a New Testament verse now. It's probably the only single verse that covers it so well that I can think of anyway. The single verse that basically says, as Abram is called, we are called. And we're going to see a connection here. And I'm going to build that connection out for us so that we are part of this story. So 1 Peter 2:9 reads, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So what I want to, just by way of overview, draw out of this is about the fulfillment of the promise to Abram. We're going to look at that promise in a moment. And how you are a chosen people. We're going to see that that's a fulfillment that Peter's writing to. Just so you know, Peter is writing to a whole bunch of regions that were filled with new converts that were Gentiles. And we're going to see that that's part of the promise that is associated with the call of Abram. And so it affects us and reaches down all the way to us. We're going to see this to be true. But you are a chosen people. You think of the chosen people usually as the Jewish people, the offspring of Abraham, that became a nation, had a great name, introduced the law of God, the holiness of God, the prophets of God, introduced that the Messiah was going to come, and all peoples would be blessed through Abraham's offspring, which is a collective singular, could be taken two different ways. And the particular offspring is Jesus Christ, the descendant of Abraham. So we're going to see all of that coming together in the parallels 6 times over today. And it's overkill, but I think it's helpful for us. So I hope you get your pencil ready or your mind ready, however you want to jump into this. So before I do, this is about our new identity. 1 Peter 2:10, the very next verse reads, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God." This was true of Abram, who he was not a people of God. living in a pagan region, a region known to be worshiping the moon god, and very affected by his pagan culture. And we're going to see him being called out of that culture to follow the true God. And now, because of that, we, not because we were his offspring by birth, we will become his offspring by connection to his particular offspring, the Lord Jesus Christ, united with him. Now we are going to be called chosen people, royal priesthood, so on and so forth. All right, are you ready? As Abram was called, we are called, number one, to God's choice and purpose. This is God's choice and purpose. Abraham didn't see this choice even coming. It was not even on the map. He was not thinking about this at all. This is God's choice and God's purpose, and it's going to involve him deeply. Let's take a look. Verses 1 through 3 of Genesis 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Just a few important details. Abram is 75 at this time. Sarai is barren. She's never had a child. And now God says, "I'm going to make you into a nation." Got to start somewhere. And they have no somewhere yet. And they're really old. And so that's a challenge that we'll be looking at as we proceed in this story. But just to open with, the Lord had said to Abraham. So this is very specific, a revelation that was beyond ignoring. Was that just some bad pizza that I ate, that I had this weird dream? No, this is right there. And there's no ignoring this. He has to figure out what he's going to do with this. And is he going to believe this? God initiates, and this is God's choice of a man who is not seeking him, doesn't know how to seek him, maybe has heard about him and has included him with the rest of worship all around, just kind of whatever spirituality he had going, whatever he's kind of making it work, and suddenly he's going to be called out to worship the one true God. Called to leave his homeland. But it comes with promises. The most amazing promise, of course, is the end goal of God, where he is, this is the genesis of the plan he already cryptically revealed in Genesis 3, verses 15. And now it's becoming more specific. There's going to be a particular offspring, and now it's identifying from which man, this man, that's going to be a blessing to the entire world. This genesis of the plan of God that God already knew in advance at the foundation of the world that this is going to take place is now being unfolded, and he's choosing his guy. And it makes me wonder, does this mean this guy doesn't have a choice? Well, this is really interesting, and so I'm going to take some time next week. That's my plan anyway. Take some time next week dealing with a passage where Jesus teaches many are called, but few are chosen. And we're gonna just digest that for ourselves and see a parallel there as well. And so to give you, I don't normally do this. I usually teach it first and then let you study it. We're gonna let you study it first and then I'm gonna teach it. I hope it goes well. It's on the talk it over sheet on the flip side. The parable that Jesus teaches about this, many are called, but few are chosen, and the punchline of his story. So I'm going to let you get into that, whether it's on your own or with your group or whatever. We're going to be looking at that together next week. We are called to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. So these parallels are This is what Abram is called to. And then we're going to see that take place in layers upon layers down the centuries. And then Peter says, now that's us with the same calling, because we're connected to Abraham through Christ, the offspring of Abraham. And in our unity, even though we're Gentile, and there may be some Jews in here too, in their heritage, but even though we do not have the race of Abraham in our DNA, we are now included in the chosen people of Abraham through the DNA is not the right word. Our union spiritually in our rebirth. We weren't birthed into the race that is called. We're rebirthed into the spiritual group that is called. And so this calling is ours to get a hold of. And Peter makes that very, very clear. Gentiles are included. God has chosen all believers in Christ to be a part of this redemptive plan, that we become royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession, 1 Peter 2:9. Now, when you think God's holy nation, please don't think this. USA, one nation under God. This is global, that through Abraham, all peoples, all nations will be blessed. Try to filter it through Jesus' teaching on the kingdom of God, and that he is our king, and that globally now, the blessing that came to Abraham, through Abraham, to all the population of the whole globe is through Jesus in a kingdom that at this point is hidden to the world, but experienced by us. And that the church is the hope of the world, because the church is the body of Christ, empowered by the Spirit of Christ, because of the victory of Christ. The hope of the world is with us. We are the royal priesthood, the chosen people, and we are to bring this blessing to those about us. And so I want to just kind of tease that out for us a little bit today. As Abraham was called, we are called, point number two, we're called to separation and transformation. So the separation for Abraham was leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household. That's a tough pill to swallow. And we're going to have to process that a bit. What does that mean for us? What in our culture is so strongly magnetic to us that it's affecting our transformation to be like Jesus? And we're called away from and separation from those things that are so strongly magnetic that it's pulling us away from a life that is a life of love and a life of wanting to be like Jesus, a life that is free from our fixation upon all these other things, so that we choose a fixation upon Jesus that brings order to our lives. So he's going to demand a separation that will create a transformation of our lives. We'll see this in a parallel way in Peter's passage. Believers are called out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Now remember, that was, if you have your Bibles open, you can find it again, but I'm not putting it on the screen. That was 1 Peter 2:9. We're called out of the darkness into his wonderful light, which means separating from anything that is of this world and is dark and brings dishonor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Where darkness is embraced by us as if it's a good thing, and we're to leave that, separate from that, and latch onto and follow closely on the heels of Jesus. And we're going to be looking at that as we go. So point number three, obvious, as Abram was called, we are called to bless others. To bless others. Genesis 12:3, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And how it worked out for Abram was he became the father of Isaac, and we'll cover this as we go through it. And then slowly this tribe increases. And then through the description of what takes place in Exodus, They are massively big, but massively in trouble, in bondage to Egypt, and God then saves them and makes them into a nation to bring them to a promised land. Okay? So they go from a people to a clan to a huge, massive tribe to having a nation themselves in the very land that God promised to Abram, and they're going to become a great nation. Through that great nation, the law, the covenant, the revelation of what God is like, a nation is getting to know their God so that that nation prepares the way for the world to get to know their God, so that all of us get to know God in such a way that it makes sense to us that God loved the world so much that he sent this descendant of Abraham, the Christ, the one that for a long time. So I'm hoping that you're kind of getting a sense that the Bible isn't just a whole bunch of different stories and different stories. It's a plan. It's a plan of salvation. It all fits together as one story. I'm glad I didn't finish that messed up as one gory, you know. It's a plan that fits together as one story. As Abraham was called, we are called to point number four, to a relationship with a promise-keeping God. So God's call to Abraham, this summons, this invitation, which is in command form. God initiated a covenant relationship with Abraham to build a plan to introduce his own character, his own holiness, his own plan, his own son, so that we could enter into a new covenant with him and receive new hearts, and our dead hearts would be removed. So that we move from a dead religiosity that was not working even for that nation into a live relationship with a promise-keeping God. So when we're reading through the book of Genesis and we're reading through all this stuff about Abram, a lot of people make this mistake. They look at Abram as the perfect example. He is a prototype for faith. But don't be trying to live life like Abram. He's like way messed up. Kind of like us. You're not following Abram for the example. We're following Jesus for the example. Okay? And when you read the Old Testament, a lot of people get mad. Look at how horrible these people are. Why am I reading this book? Why should I be like them? You shouldn't. Don't read it as if they're the examples. Read it as a story because it's telling us about how God loved even Abraham through all this. He made promises. He's going to make it work. He's going to make that work, that promise happen. Even when Abraham is doing stupid, stupid stuff as if he's going to try to make the promise not work. And God says, I already promised it. It's going to work. Here's how it's going to work. And he'll make it work when Abraham's being stupid about it. So we're going to see that taking place. And I kind of love that about God because I'm stupid about my life. And he's going to make his promise work with me. So there are a few elements, though, that we need to learn. There are conditions for this blessing. And we got to get a hold of how we follow this fabulous God of ours. I go off on these tangents and I have to find where I was. All right, so we see God's call to Abraham. We see God's call to us. We're called God's special possession in 1 Peter 2:9. I love that. This, by the way, this whole list are echoes of God's covenant language to Israel in the Old Testament, but now it's being applied to us Gentiles in the New Covenant. And so that's just really good that you need to pin it and hang on to it. It's your new identity. To the degree that you can get a hold of this new identity, it'll transform you. If you still think you're the you that you think you are in the world that you're living in, you got to get out of that world, get into the world of Jesus, and live out your new identity. And as you do that, it is fabulous because all these true things about being royal priesthood, what does that mean? We are the mediators between the king and the messed up world. And we're to demonstrate the glory of the king and worship the king and proclaim the king's glory because he's been so good to us that the messed up world says, I want your experience. You're like blessed. How are you blessed? It's just such a blessing to be loved by him, forgiven by him, and watched out for by him, and he's taken me in this mess, and look at what he's done with this, and how are you so up? I just trust my king, and we're royal priests. It's like we're hanging on to God over here and grabbing our friend over here, and I want to introduce you to him. I want to introduce you to him. He's so awesome. I just want to talk about him. All of us are called to that as the royal priesthood. You probably thought you weren't a priest. You probably thought you weren't a preacher. But if you're connected to Jesus, you are. As a royal priesthood, that you have something to live for beyond you. So, related to that, as Abram was called, we are called to point number 5, to a mission for God's glory. To a mission for God's glory. Later on in chapter 12, Abram accepts this promise as reality, accepts this call as reality. He's going to begin to travel. He doesn't know where to. God doesn't reveal where to until he's there. Doesn't that sound a lot like the way he leads you? It sounds a lot like the way he leads me. It's like, I follow him in what I'm supposed to do today. And he builds those days together, and then he throws in this fast one. It's like, I didn't see that coming. And sometimes it's no fun. And that thing that was no fun that I didn't see coming shaped the next step. And then he puts the next step together. And then when we get there, it's like, oh, that's what you had going. I get it now. He didn't lay it all out for Abram. He didn't know how this was going to go, but he met God. God spoke to him, and he didn't know how this could happen. But based on his interaction with this promise-making God, it's like, what's my alternative? Totally ignore that I just heard from God? Decide I want to choose my own way, do my own thing, run my own life? A lot of people live that way. They won't follow the thing that God is asking them to do today. Because it's a little bit scary because he's not telling us enough of it. He doesn't work that way. If he told us all of it, we'd go, no way. I'm not going there. He tells us enough to where we get stronger and stronger and stronger. We get there, it's like, whoa, we were able to do way more than we ever thought with his help. Amazing. So, he's called us to a mission for God's glory. In 1 Peter 2:9, it's stated with the phrase, to declare the praises. To declare the praises. As people of faith and worshipers, our words and actions reflect God's goodness. It draws others to him. The only way we can do that is not by trying harder. The only way we can do that is by getting closer to Jesus and letting him do more through us and experiencing that kind of faith and connection and empowerment and faithfulness to his empowerment and learning how to live that faith out. Now, I'm just going to ask you a simple question. Go ahead and raise your hand if your answer to the question is yes. Do you want to be happy? Did I see some of you hold your hands down? Like, I'm going to ask it again, because there's really only one really good answer here. Do you want to be happy? All right. I'm going to boil the stuff down to as simple a terms as I know how to boil it down to. You only need three things. Three things to be happy. You need something big and true to believe. You need someone to love. And you need something worthwhile to do. We think our happiness is based on so many things, but if you're missing these, chase, chase, chase all you want. You're not going to be happy. You need something big and true to believe, someone to love, and you need something worthwhile to do. Now, obviously, there's much, much more to this blessing that we receive from God. We receive all of that and more. We receive this big and true God, that's big and true promise that's so huge, I will bless you to be a blessing. someone to love. Some of you might be thinking, I don't have that. I'm lonely. Hello? I'm talking about Jesus. You're not lonely. You have someone to love. He loves you. And if that relationship is so stale and dull, you haven't learned what it means to love Jesus. It's very real. And it's very vibrant. And it brings meaning and joy to our lives. Go back to the basics and learn from what he teaches. Go back to the basics and learn what he says in terms of, this is how you pray. And then begin to pray. Meet with him regularly. Learn to pray. It's not hard. Talk to him. Reveal to him what you're thinking, as well as saying the words he tells you to say so that you're conforming to him. Okay? And lastly, on this long outline, as Abram was called, we are called, point number 6, to leave in order to receive. Every time you want to receive more, there's probably more that you're going to have to leave. You've packed your life, packed full. Abraham's called to leave something, to receive more. And Jesus called us to leave all, to receive everything spiritual, everything you'd ever dreamed of ever wanting, far beyond it, beyond your imagination. But it takes leaving to receive. All right, so let me just review what we've just been through. As Abram was called, we are called to God's choice and purpose, to separation and transformation, to bless others, to a relationship with a promise-keeping God, to a mission for God's glory, to leave in order to receive. And there's a whole much more that we could say here, but we'll be getting into some of these as we go. And so thank you for coming today. I hope this was encouraging. I know it's kind of heady, but it's going to connect with us because that's for us, not just for Abram. If you're a guest with us today, thank you for coming. We have a Connect card that's in the chair in front of you that looks like this. Love to have you fill it out. Go to the Next Steps table. We have a gift bag for you. Want to start some conversations. One in particular is about our Start Here class, which is being offered next week. We'd love to have you consider that next week, second service. And if you need prayer of any kind, fill out this card, drop it in the giving box. Or if you need prayer right now, we've got a prayer team that would be happy to pray for you about anything you've got a need for. Speaking of prayer, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the genesis of hope, the genesis of the plan of salvation, the genesis of this grand plan of salvation that you've called us to. And we pray that we would be those who have faith, like Abram, to step towards you from wherever we are to where you want us to be. And there's a journey ahead of us. Help us to take our next step, whatever that is, for each one of us. Lord, show us our next step. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you later.